We're continuing these studies from Tuesday with regard to the inner man, and we're calling this teaching, "The Inner Man Must Be Strengthened." The inner man must be strengthened. God always works first in the heart. He works underground, where you cannot see any growth yet, like the farmer who plants the seed. It's all there. The potential for life and growth is all there, but we don't see it straight away. It has to be nurtured and fed and watered, which is exactly what God is doing with us. And we are basing this from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, 14 to 21, which we will just read again to you. This is the epistle the apostle is writing in prison to this church at Ephesus, of a very outwardly successful church, a church that appears very spiritual, holds to the word, is discerning, is rightly dividing the word of truth, but they have to take a warning on board not to lose their first love. And we take this up from verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and breadth, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." It is the power that works in us, and that is the key, the understanding to the work in the inner man. And how we overcome, how we know that what we know, everything is based upon he that now works within us. And he uses such words and analogy of this work that is within our hearts, as he says in verse 18, "What is the width and length and depth and height? To know the love of God." So he's using such terms here of width, length, depth and height. He's speaking of that spiritually, as if we can understand the length of the universe, how we can measure these things. Man, scientists think that they can, but we can't really. There's no beginning, there's no end with God. And that is what it means to walk in the Spirit. That is what the deeper life is about. You can go as far and as deep as you want, as you believe for. There's no end to it with Almighty God. And that is the work that he's doing, strengthening us in the inner man, in the heart. Your strength, your support in this life can only come from that. It doesn't come from the arm of the flesh. That deceives us in understanding this great work of the Spirit, what he's doing within the inner man, within the heart. And this is why we are part of the great family of God. Both who've gone before, all the first fruits who are there with Christ, all those who are there and all of us who are joining them, the great family of God, which the apostle speaks about here. And as he says in verse 22, now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So the power that works in us even is greater than what we can even ask or think or comprehend. And that is our process of learning all the time. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So this writing is to all generations, to every generation, to every remnant that God has had since Jesus Christ, to today, to now, this moment. This is speaking to God's church, God's family. And that's why we're just sojourners passing through. Our citizenship is not of this world. All your affairs, all your trials, your anxieties, all those things that we go through in this life, our afflictions in our bodies, whatever it is all for the purpose to strengthen the inner man. And the strengthening of the inner man is that we don't rely on these things anymore. As I said so often, stop taking this world so seriously. It's passing away. I know that we have the trials. I know we have these family affairs. I'm aware that our children can break our hearts. But that is where our faith stands in. And it's all designed in which to strengthen the inner man. Every trial that we meet, every experience is always designed to strengthen the inner man. And that's why it's a life that's filled with God that enables us to stand and overcome. And this, of course, is where prayer is essential for this, that we stand against the adversary, that he has given us the weapons of which to raise a standard against the enemy. And this is why some of you still don't overcome like you are, because you still have not learned yet to stand against the adversary who comes to steal and rob and destroy. That is the nature of Satan. And he wants to rob and destroy the inner man that is being strengthened and renewed. He doesn't like that. And we have to stand against him on these things. Let's turn to some scriptures that we know well, where we can be so hindered. For example, we know this well in Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For he that thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So this is describing the inner man, the heart. And he says to us, for as you think in the heart. So what you are thinking is what is going on in the heart. If you have wrong thoughts, you are entertaining wrong thoughts, you are entertaining doubts, lustful thoughts, unclean thoughts, covetous thoughts. That is an indication the what is going on in the inner man. And the heart is being changed, worked on. That is a clear indication and sign. But the proud, The arrogant never see that. And that is the problem. Those who keep the knee bowed in the presence of God will be aware of that work God is doing in the heart. And they don't run away from it, but they keep coming and running into the light. They keep coming to the meetings. They keep coming and listening to the word of God. They're the clear signs that you are aware of what's going on in the inner man. What does he say in Proverbs 4 and verse 23? Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. The life that is in you, given by God, is expressed and seen by what is in your heart. And if God now is in your heart, he's changed this heart of stone to a heart of flesh, then that is what springs forth. That is the life that's now in you, as he says. For out of you springs the issues of life. In other words, out of you comes those rivers of living water, not dead, stagnant water, but water to be able to drink from, the fountain of life. That is what issues from us. And that's why Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. And this is all about why we preach the deeper life. Because we fall or stand, not because of the temptations, but what is in the heart. Because the heart governs. As Nehemiah 8:10 tells us, the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's the indication. Are you down, depressed? No confession of faith coming out of your mouth? Are you confessing all that you see and go through, all that the devil is suggesting to you? Doesn't take you long to listen what comes out of your mouth. For life and death is in the power of the tongue. And what is that indicating? The inner man. Very, very important, all of this. The Apostle Paul had things to say on this between Romans 7 and Romans 8. And let's just remind ourselves what he says in Romans 7 and verse 22. Romans 7 and verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. In other words, what he's saying, whatever my circumstances, whatever God may be exposing or chastening or correcting in my life, outwardly that is, I still delight in the inward man. In other words, my heart that has been changed and renewed. I have received a new nature. Because that is what you need. If you still have the old nature in you, you will go back to what that old nature loves and wants and lusts for. That's why Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt, leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, because her heart was still in it. And there are many Christians who profess Christ, but their hearts are still in the world. Because they don't want to look at the inner man, the heart. Search me, O God, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what an overcomer says. Search my heart, Lord. Why? Because we don't know what is in there. Until the temptations come. And even that, God has said, you can pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God has provided. We're without excuse. But it's where the heart lies every time. Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So there it is. Outwardly it's perishing, but the inner man is being renewed. What is going to rule? We're not talking of two natures, but what we are talking about, there are two natures that you can decide that can rule, because only one can rule in that sense. You look to the outward and it's dying, it's decaying. You can throw all your money at it. You can buy all your creams. You can have all your facial and cosmetic works done on your face and on your body, but you won't stop it decaying. It's the inner man that we look to that's being renewed, being prepared to live eternally with Almighty God. That's the wonderful thing about it, you see. And that's why we're consecrated, we're set apart unto the Lord, so the inner man, the heart, can be worked upon. That is why your environment is very important to God. What sort of environment are you keeping? Who do you keep associating with? All of that can hinder the inner man. And that is why he separates us, sanctifies us, sets us apart unto himself. And the first thing you will know with that is, I don't fit in with the world. And yes, we mix with the world. Yes, a lot of our family are still in the world, those you work with at work and so on. But the thing you will find always, if you are called of God and separated, the thing you will always have in your heart, and you will know, I don't identify with them. I have nothing in common with them. And that is the ruling principle. And you know you can't make friends with them in that sense and buddy up with them. Because you don't have anything in common. And it doesn't mean that we reject them, we turn our backs on them. It simply means we don't agree with them. We don't walk the same walk that they are walking. That's the difference. And that's where we are tried as Christians. That is where we have to stand. We can easily stand when we're up on the mountaintops with God. No problem there. It's when you go down into the valley of the demon possessed. That is where you are trained. That is where God does that work and deliverance. That is what reveals whether you're still, your heart is in the world or not. You see? God knows how to train us, brothers and sisters. That's why he has us out spiritually in the wilderness. That is where true discipleship is birthed and worked upon. But you've got many Christians in denial who run away from that because they don't like it. Of course we don't like the things that God works in the flesh. That's why we have the cross. If you don't have the cross daily taking it up, it will never work. You'll be no good in the valley with the demon possessed. Because that is what the cross is for. You see. And this is why we have such immaturity in the house of God. So many are still children, don't want to grow up. You see. But the inner man will respond and see that there is a growth, a spiritual growth that is absolutely important. For example, what does it say in the Gospel of John 14? John 14, verses 20, 24. John 14, verses 20, 24. At that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas Iscariot said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So verse 23 again shows us, he says, we will come to him and make our home with him. That is speaking again of the inner man. That is where he resides. He lives in us now. And this is all received on the basis of believing. But faith needs to be rooted and grounded in the word, in fellowship with believers, in the house of God. We're planted in Christ's body for fellowship, for ministry, for teaching, for encouragement, helping one another, praying one for another, exhorting one another. That is what our fellowship is about. And this is often the problem that lacks today, because believers are not in faith, believing. You will know how much is taking place in the inner man in your heart by how much comes out of you. Those rivers of living water. You see, it's not enough in a sense just to be rooted in Christ, because you've got a lot of people today, and I see this particularly on Instagram where God has got me at the moment. I can be a Christian, but I don't have to go to church. That's the big one. They like that. Why? Because they don't want the commitment. They don't want the fact that when you are baptized, placed into Christ's body, that he's going to start to do a work on you, hewing those stones that have rough edges so that we're all knit together in unity and oneness. But all of that costs. It isn't cheap. Where you've got saints who are faithful, who come together and for fellowship, who make the effort, that is a sign that that doesn't come cheap. It's a work. God is doing a work in our hearts, And he's also doing that work through our fellowship, our unity and oneness. And that is what makes up the body of Christ. Rooted together in him and each other. That's why we are responsible for each other. And we pray one for another. If we see those weaknesses or whatever, we get in prayer. You stand in the gap. As I've said so often, this assembly will go as far as you get behind the word that is being taught us. You have a responsibility to pray for this word. I can only preach and teach by the level of your commitment in prayer for what you're hearing. You have an important part. In fact, your part is even more important than my part, which is just a mouthpiece. But so few understand this. And also the bride that's making herself ready now is imperative, for he's coming for a bride. And part of her making herself ready is she has a great understanding of the work in the inner man. That changing of our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. And boy, isn't it a work. And only God can do it. The great master potter. And that's why you see we are of his family, brought in together to share, to encourage, and so on. That's why you're not a mistake. It's not by chance. Why do you think that we come together like we do? Yes, even into this room. Week after week, because God brings us here. And he's doing it for a divine purpose. Part of building his body. And the wonderful thing about all of this, it's taken me years to learn this, that wherever we are, wherever you're living, and we have some living right the other side of the world, God is all-powerful to work, to bring us together in unity and oneness, wherever we are. It's taken me years as a pastor to be able to fully understand this one. I've said many times, why is it, Father, your body seems so fragmented? We're all around the world. We can't get together physically. This grieves me as a pastor, and it has done for many, many years. And now suddenly it's dropped from the head to the heart, beginning to see the bigger picture of what God's doing and how he's even using technology to bring us together. And the other thing that God has quickened to me, where faith is concerned, our faith, our walk in the Spirit is walking and walking till we're no longer, and we walk into eternity. When he calls us up and snatches us away, then we will be together in heaven, in eternity, as God's family. What a great thing to look forward to and to be united with our loved ones who've gone on before. That's what this is all about, brothers and sisters. Some of us have had brothers and sisters in this assembly who've now gone on before, who are now with the Lord in eternity. What a joy it's going to be united again with them. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying here as I start to bring this to a close. What we started with back in Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. And let's read this again. And I think that we now can look at this in a completely different light. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, this great man mightily used of God, the apostle in prison. His prison experiences, his rejection, his persecutions, his beatings are teaching him how to bow the knee before the Lord. And that's why God will chastise us. He'll allow us to go through those trials and testings to work that bowing of the knee. This is how he does it. Why? Why is it so drastic? Because we're so proud and arrogant. We don't even have to work at it. It's there. Rises up. And God is ever working with us so that we have those bowed knees 24/7 before the throne of God. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So God's family has a name, called from the foundation of the world. And he says, you will have a new name in heaven that will be known between you and the Lord. No one else will know it. That speaks of relationship, oneness. I bow the knee, says, because of the family that's in heaven and in earth. So he says it's not only in heaven, but on earth as well, that are named, that are called, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. What is in Jesus Christ, in other words, to be strengthened with might. There it is, empowered. By the very power that raised Christ from the dead, the power that led him in this life when he divested himself, he walked by the power of the Spirit, is the same power that works through us by his Spirit in the inner man. That is where he works it first. That Christ may dwell in your heart. In other words, reside, take up his residence. He tabernacles with you. Through what? Your works, your efforts, how much education you have, what school you went to? No. Through faith, simply believing. That you, being rooted and grounded in hate, resentment, unforgiveness? No. Love. That agape love. That is the only atmosphere, conditions in which all of this can happen or work. May be able to comprehend with all the saints, those that are in heaven that have gone on before, and those on the earth you can comprehend with the saints. In other words, experience, learn what is the width and length and depth and height to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So there's a love that is so great that even passes knowledge that you can't even put into words. That you may be filled with the fullness of myself, my pride, my own achievements. Not at all. Filled with the fullness of him, the inner man. It will only work when you are filled with him. Doesn't work otherwise. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So he's talking about mind-blowing stuff, in other words. Blows your mind. I can't even begin to comprehend. I can't even take it in. What he has for us. To him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So what you're asking, what you're thinking, is still not big enough according to the power that works in us. Where does he work it? In us. He illumines our mind to understand the revelation that gives this to us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And you've got to put amen there, otherwise it doesn't stop. It's an eternal work, this work in the inner man. It's a work that's going to continue in this world and take us out into eternity. It is an endless work. An endless learning, an endless understanding of Almighty God that never comes to an end. It will be in eternity a continual learning. Always something new, something greater to experience and learn from Almighty God. Throughout eternity, that teaching, that learning will never, ever stop with you. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? But that's what he says. That's what he says. But those who reject it, those who do not want it, those who are not willing to bow the knee, it will be a life of torment and misery. It will be a life consumed in yourself. And the wailing and gnashing of teeth will be, I allowed myself to be in this place. It was me. My stupidity, my blindness, my pride has landed me in this place of torment. That is the wailing and gnashing of teeth. Yes, Lord, have mercy on us. Hallelujah. Mighty Lord. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. The inner man must be strengthened. Don't hinder him. Don't stop him. Let him do that work. Just meet him each day and just walk with him and let him take his life over your life. He's got it under complete control. Whatever your circumstances, whatever you're going through, whatever you're feeling, whatever the devil's suggesting to your mind, remember the inner man is the strengthening force that anchors everything, and this is worked by the love of God.